The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant, George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Houston Texans have officially released their new uniforms.
They look great.
I agree. I think they also look great. They're very different than I was anticipating. I just thought they were going to be more traditional, but it's very very Nike of them, I would say.
Oh, it's better than Nike. This isn't the absolute dog crap that Nike's been rolling out for
That's fair.
Years and years and years in sport, across sport, across sport. No, these look good. I think all three of them are worthy of a purchase. The Texans are not endorsing me for this. They should. Because I like them. And, yeah, I think everyone that was bitching and moaning over the last couple of days think you need to chill out a little bit.
Well, that hasn't really stopped, though, because now it's just moved on to new things.
What are they bitching about now?
It's Yankee Blue. It's Yankee Blue.
I don't know why the Texans thought it was a good idea to say this is Yankee Blue. It might be because, due to the fact that they are making material that is owned by Nike, there are specific colors that they were choosing from, and this just turns out to be as close to Yankee Blue as possible. That it is Yankee Blue?
It's Yankee Blue.
I don't know why they admitted that, though.
I don't either. It's Ohio State Red, Yankee Blue.
But see, that works.
H-Town Blue.
The Ohio State Red, that works because you got C.J. Stroud. And
yeah.
You need to pander to those crazies to
Agreed.
Get on the Texans bandwagon.
But we need them. I mean, they got no other quarterbacks to root for. So, like, what are they going to root for? Ezekiel Elliott coming back to the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Chris Olave and the Saints?
The Bosa brothers?
It depends on, you know. There's a lot of Ohio State fans who definitely like the Bosa brothers, if you know what I mean. But, yeah, they're out today. They look good. I like them. They're different. It's refreshing. I don't think it's a big a deal as other people made it seem to be, whereas as bad as they thought they were. Definitely the leaked stuff from Antonio Brown that they put out there definitely made them look worse.
In quotation marks.
But these look much better than that. But yeah, they're out and I like them. So I'm looking forward to purchasing a new hat. That's what I feel. 2-1, the Astros are loose tonight. Everyone will forget about the name of the jersey colors. That's a good point. It's a good point if the Astros lose tonight.
I mean, look, they don't matter to me right now. They do not matter to me. They are in timeout, and until they win 3 games in a row, I don't care. I do not care. No. No, Joe.
3 in a row?
3 in a row. 3 in a row, I'll pick up the phone. 3 in a row, I'll respond to a text.
Can't they just win a series and you'll pick up
no.
the phone?
3 in a row. They have to win 3 games in a row.
That's going to be challenging.
It shouldn't be that challenging. Third highest payroll in baseball. I don't care about the injuries. I truly don't. Stop sucking. You're embarrassing all of us.
I agree. They are embarrassing all of us.
I mean, you are the backstory to the Houston Texans releasing new uniforms.
Yes.
The team that has been to 7 straight ALCS, the team that has won all these AL Wests, 6 of the last 7?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You don't matter to me. Baseball, I am not going to make any effort to watch this god-awful sport if you're not good. Unless it's in person, which is where I will be, you know, eating and drinking and not paying attention to baseball.
That's fair.
Like most people who go to baseball games.
I understand that.
Because it's a terrible sport.
Jeremy Booth will join us at 1 o'clock in studio for about a half hour. That's going to be an interesting conversation because I want to push back against what he's been pushing about the lineup construction being the biggest issue for the Astros.
I'm intrigued by this back and forth.
I'm also just like curious at this point if he still really does honestly believe that that's their number one issue. Like, of everything that we're seeing go wrong with the Astros, if the lineup construction is still at the top of his list, because there's so many issues, I can't imagine a world in which he's so confident that's their number one issue. But maybe he'll prove me wrong. We'll see. But let's talk about the NFL draft a little bit, because it starts on Thursday. And the national reports are fascinating. From it looks like we might see six quarterbacks going to the NFL draft. I was just listening to Adam Schefter on Pat McAfee's show from yesterday. He said he thinks six quarterbacks are going to go in the first round.
Oh, man. I got to say, too, with these people who work for the networks that are carrying the draft, trying to push that there's going to be six quarterbacks drafted.
Crazy.
Well, that's a head scratcher, and it's fishy to me. Maybe there will be six quarterbacks drafted in the first round, but we hear this a lot. This sounds like Adam Schefter's trying to make sure that Disney gets ratings for this thing.
Yeah, it's like, who's going to trade back into the first round and draft Bo Nix?
Right, let's hype it up by just saying all sorts of teams are going to draft quarterbacks so that hope can spring eternal for all of those godforsaken franchises who don't have one.
But even if there's four or five quarterbacks taken in the first round, the trickle-down effect could be very good for the Houston Texans because you're going to see a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of wide receivers go early in the first round. It's going to be an offensive-heavy draft in the first round. We've talked a lot about wide receiver being the one position where we look at, you know, the first couple picks of the Texans draft, because the back end stuff is, it's really just filler of your depth chart. You look at their first three or four picks outside of wide receiver. What is the first position that you think of, Paul, that the Texans absolutely do not need?
Well, I want to reemphasize that wide receiver and other weapons for C.J. Stroud, they're fine. I see a lot of the Texans media types online who are saying, well, you can never have too many weapons for C.J. Stroud. You were fine before Stephon Diggs. Now you have Stephon Diggs.
I think it's clickbait.
I mean, if you're looking for more, you are just a greedy fantasy footballer. Mm. That's all you are, and you don't know ball. Yeah, I'm doing that too. I think after wide receiver, the position where the Texans don't need to go after a guy is end. Mm-hmm. Defensive end. They got a lot.
Yeah, I saw one. I think it was Jeremy or someone here was tweeting back and forth about this article from NFL.com or The Athletic, and it said top three priorities, and it listed defensive end, and I was like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, crazy.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, have you been sleeping this offseason?
This might be the best defensive end unit in the NFL. They got four guys who are good. I mean, you obviously have Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, but Derek Barnett, I thought, was a really good player for the Texans that they brought in the middle of last year. And then you also have Mario Edwards. So you got four capable guys. And also Denico Autry, who is, I think, being listed as a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
And will be in as defensive tackle in certain situations. He can also play on the outside, too. So they got a lot of defensive ends, and that's nice to have.
Mm-hmm.
They got waves that they can throw at people. The interior, the actual middle of the defense, I definitely think could use some bolstering. But, yeah. I think they're fine at defensive end.
I would agree. Defensive end, wide receiver, the top two positions that I would say you don't need to address in any way, shape, or form, at least in those first, like, four picks. Just the idea of adding a defensive end. I mean, Paul, I would say I think we're more likely to see a guy like Derek Barnett, who I also like. He had, what, 3.5 sacks for the Texans last year. I think it's more likely he would get cut then they would draft a defensive end. That, like, they get through training camp and they realize they have too much in the room rather than add to more of it. Now, would stun me if in the second or third round, if they went out and drafted another defensive end after this offseason.
If it's best player available, I mean, that's the thing. When you're drafting there, if there's a really good player, you got to take him. And it's not like Derek Barnett is a long-term figure for this team. Same thing with Mario Edwards.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Their depth. If someone falls to you there in the second round and you feel like the guy's got high upside, I'm not saying don't take him, but I don't think that they need, for this coming season, I don't think they need a guy that
way. Yeah, I mean, this goes back to what we've been talking about with Nick Caserio. Like, I'm going to trust Nick Caserio. If he drafts a wide receiver, you know what? I disagree with it because I just don't see the need for it right now. But when you look at their long-term future, you have Nico, Robert Woods, Noah Brown, Stephon Diggs are all going to be free agents in the next year or two. So the idea of drafting a wide receiver, I guess, has some merit. I would say there's other concerns. I'm going to add linebacker to that core as an early draft pick in those first two second-round picks or a third-rounder. I like what you have with Al-Shaair and Christian Harris and Henry To'o. I don't view that position as an absolute need. Once again, if they take it, I understand it. Maybe it means they don't believe in To'o as much as I do or as much as I thought they did. I mean, look, I don't know how you feel about this, Paul, but like, he was wearing the green dot last year when the game started. He was the one that was calling plays on defense. So he, at least as a rookie, showed enough through training camp that D'Amico Ryans had some faith in him as the guy who's going to be calling out plays on defense. So,
but I mean, he wasn't playing like as much as Blake Cashman was last season.
No, that's true. Yeah, he fell off the depth chart pretty quickly. But I would add linebacker to that group just because I think you're pretty well stout there. I don't know about depth wise, but I don't even think it's a day two need. I would guess
it's a tricky position because how many linebackers are you going to have on the field on a regular basis? You would like to have Christian Harris on the field more often than not, because of what he can do as a hitter, and also he's just a super athletic player. At the same time, you brought in Azeez Al-Shaair. I still think that that's a position that you look at just from this perspective. There's so few linebackers who can cover, and if you think that you see a guy that falls to that spot, you think about it. But we're also at a point now where there's so many players that are these safeties and almost tweeners where you use them like they're linebackers. I think that you could be right on that front. I think that this is one of those positions that's probably not up at the top of the totem pole as far as needs. But, I mean, I'm not saying no on that one because of how they used to get peppered over the middle of the field by teams with good tight ends last year.
Yeah, that's definitely. And that, I guess, to your point, if Al-Shaair is not someone that they view can, when they play the Ravens and the Chiefs next year, someone that you feel confident that can be more than competent against Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce, then, yeah, you probably need to at some point address the linebacker position if you don't think they can cover the tight end position. Because you're right, that's where, I mean, what Denzel Perryman was getting cooked like every single game in the red zone. It was just absolutely terrible. 747, do the Texans trade Bobby Trees on draft night?
Who?
Robert Woods.
Oh.
I would say...
Who called him Bobby Trees?
It's like a nickname that I've heard that before.
Never heard that one.
Heard that before?
No.
Yeah, I think that goes back to like his Rams days is where it kind of came from.
I'll be honest, I'm surprised he's still on the roster.
Same, but so...
Probably a post-June 1st cut or something like that. They got a ton of depth at wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see a player get traded this week in the draft for the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, maybe when they think about cutting him June 1st, he gets traded for like a 7th-round pick somewhere, but...
Yeah, I don't see it. Any other positions for you? I would say...
That they don't need or that they need?
Don't need. Yeah, everything else, like... This is going to be an unpopular opinion, probably, but when you look at Nick Caserio and the New England Patriots history, I don't know if I would spend a draft pick on this, but it wouldn't stun me if they took a quarterback in the 3rd or 4th round, because like that's what the Patriots do. Like they would have a quarterback, and they clearly showed last year that they don't believe in Davis Mills, and you can't have Case Keenum forever. So if you get to the 4th, 5th round and you're looking at your draft board and you're looking at Spencer Rattler or Jordan Travis, the kid from Florida State, like I wouldn't be opposed. It's not the top of my priority list, but I would not be upset if they took a quarterback, honestly.
I don't think it's that controversial. I mean, yeah, Mills is probably not long for here, and Case Keenum is old.
A lot of people just would look at it, you have CJ Stroud, why do you need a quarterback? That's why it would be an unpopular pick by some.
Do they have CJ Stroud? Because I was looking at the jersey release stuff. I saw Nico Collins, saw Tank Dell, saw Will Anderson.
Yep.
Saw a lot of players.
I saw Derek Stingley Jr.
Derek Stingley. He's on Sam Houston, the statue of Sam Houston in Huntsville right now.
It's a large jersey.
Giant jersey. It's crazy how big that jersey is. Didn't see any CJ Stroud. So.
How long do you think it took him to make that jersey for the Sam Houston statue?
Probably an entire day.
At least. Yeah, no CJ Stroud in any of these videos.
Huh.
What's going on? Jalen Petrie's in there.
Yeah. Maybe at 42, maybe they go Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they need a quarterback.
Yeah. Maybe they do need a
quarterback. They need a white quarterback. That's what I've been saying all this time. You guys think C.J. Stroud's so good? Why? Listen, I don't see color, but I want a white man under center.
There are some people that are thinking that.
My other observation.
There's got to be one person in town.
The other observation that I have from the Texans release videos is that it looks like at one point they're in a back-to-tank, the thing from Star Wars in which Darth Vader heals himself. Like, it's just this weird plexiglass case.
It also kind of looks like a UFC octagon.
Yes.
And it also looks like some machine where a human is getting turned into a bull.
Yes.
Like I'll be honest. I did not know what the hell they were doing.
I didn't either.
I was like, what the hell?
I was like, these
can
videos
I just see
are
the jerseys, please?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, about the reveals. I'm like, these reveal videos kind of suck. In
to
terms of, like,
see
seeing the jerseys.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
The videos are cool. The music, the voiceover, all the images. Everything is awesome. But I'm like, what does the jersey look like?
Can I just see some photos,
like,
please?
You're showing a dark blue jersey in the nighttime. Like, I can't really see it. It's like an old man yelling at a cloud right now. That's how I felt watching these videos. I also watched them while I was driving, to be honest.
Jesus. What? You're a father.
He wasn't in the car.
Whether he's in or isn't in, this used to drive me crazy.
I was sitting in bumper to bumper traffic, like I was just sitting there waiting. And I'm like, this car's not moving, so I'm just like watching the video while I'm moving a half mile an hour.
You kids,
what?
What?
I think
you're
fine.
Watching videos while driving.
Yeah, it's all right. We weren't moving.
I got nothing to say.
I feel like Paul is really disappointed in me right now.
Yes, because you got people that count on you. I could get away with doing that. I don't, but I could get away with doing that. You got people. You got a responsibility, young man.
I count on you, Paul. So what's the difference between you and me?
Yeah.
Sean counts on you.
No, you guys don't. No, you don't.
You think I want to do a show like this for 3 hours by myself?
You think you could?
No.
I think you could.
No chance. I mean, I have.
You're turning this on me. You're using. You're watching videos while you're driving, psycho.
What?
I was driving to work. I watched Shogun all the way in from Lee City.
No.
What are you doing?
Oh, wait.
I think the Houston Texans brought us some gear.
Correct.
There we go.
The Houston Texans actually surprises me.
I want to give a shout out to Michaela for sending stuff in. We got some swag right now.
I was literally going to go buy one of
those. Oh, they got us hats? Hell yeah, bro.
Dude. All right. We'll give these out. Thank you, Michael Carroll. Thank you, Houston Texans.
Appreciate that.
Wow, this is very nice of them.
It's football time in Houston.
It's officially football time in
Houston.
Are
you ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
Also, I want the flat brim. Give me that flat brim, baby.
Yeah, there's two of them. There's two of them.
Oh, there's two? Okay, sick.
We'll give the olds.
Yeah, let's give the dad show up next. Can have the
Well, they're not. Neither of them are here today, so they're going to miss
out. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
We'll leave one for the Godfather and then whoever else wants one. It's free game. I look in that room over there in the producer studio right now, and I don't really see a big Texans fan on the right until I see Mapes.
Sean, will you wear this hat?
I mean, for a bit on the show, yes.
You won't do it for the age, though?
No, I won't, like, walk around wearing that.
You won't rep the H?
I'm going to wear this hat. Way too much.
You know who's cool? Cal McNair. You know who's not? You.
Sean Mapes.
Cool. I'm okay with that. I'm okay if you think Cal McNair's cooler than me.
I mean, do you have a giant dog and impose in front of your
with ice?
Super big house?
No, my dog
with
died.
With ice?
Oh, wow.
I used to have a big dog, but it died.
Damn, dude.
You got me there.
Good one, Joe. Thanks. On my birthday.
You got me. Happy birthday, Sean. Right.
Joe's trying to kill himself while driving and
talking about Sean's death.
Forgot
He's
Sean's
laughing
birthday
at me for my dog dying.
No. I said happy birthday to Sean like an hour ago.
I
didn't forget it.
No. Right.
We got to get to the end of the
show. He knew it was my birthday when he wanted to bring up my death.
We got to get to the. I'm not saying until we get to Louisiana later today.
All right. Which NFL player is going to, or which Texans player is going to improve the most this upcoming season? CJ Stroud is sure making it sound like it's going to be Tank Dell. Do you agree? That's next on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew. Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Astros getting ready to take on the Cubs over the next three days.
Are they?
They are.
Until they end in three wins, I'm just going to be very, very mean and nasty.
That's fine.
Towards them.
Well, we're going to have to be, I think we're patronizing.
I'm not even going to be patronizing anymore, Joe. I'm going to be mean and nasty. I'm going to be a bitch. I'm going to be a absolute B-I-T-C-H to them. Until they win three in a row, I'm going to nag them. Listen, I've done this before. I got a wandering eye. You got to meet my needs, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm a slutty sports fan that follows the strong. They are not the strong right now. I can't believe that they're as high as 18 in the athletics baseball power rankings. They're 18th. That is an undeserved 18.
I saw one Her name is Ariel. She's MLB TV and NBA TV, and she's a the prop queen is what they call her. She bought her a top 10 power ranking. She still had the Astros 10th. Good for her. That's all. It's good for her.
That
because that's a bold choice.
If she was an Astros fan, that is somebody who thinks they can't do better. You can do better. We can all do better. Should I bring in the half Astros, half Mariners shirt in as a threat? Should I wear a Red Sox shirt tomorrow? I don't care. I'll wear a Mariners shirt tomorrow. I don't care.
The Twitch is asking who I'm rooting for in this series. You guys know that answer.
I actually don't.
I'm rooting for the Astros.
Ooh. Damn, but you won't turn your back on the Bears for the way cooler Houston Texans.
I love the Cubs.
With their new uniforms and their superior quarterback.
Look, just like I will root for the Texans when they play the Bears this year.
Okay.
Because I like this job more than I'm a fan. That's a fact. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP. Listen, let's talk to Gary. Gary wants to talk about the NFL draft and what the Texans need to do. Gary, what's going on?
Hey, guys, since the last segment, since you opened that door and said that there are some people out there that probably want, not you guys, probably want another white guy up under the, I want a white guy under the center. So I'm playing, I'm going to role play with you guys, too. The problem is some other guys out there saying that we don't want any slew foot white guy under quarterback center. We want more athletic, quick guy under the center. Not me, but I'm just saying that's what we're reenacting. Then you guys open that segment.
The we T-Rex quarterback, Gary.
If CJ go down, we want another back quarterback. We're progressing.
You know what? I'm with you, Gary. I don't want a fatty boom batty as the backup, and I would like the guy to move. I don't want another, you know, Mac Jones in here or something like that. Give me someone who's athletic and quick.
Yes.
Good to know Gary still listens.
Thank you, Gary, for the call. I very much enjoyed that.
Gary called in last year, and he had this hot take on, like, you don't want these T-Rex quarterbacks. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, man, but you're so passionate when you talk
about. Like little arms?
Yeah.
I thought we just talked about little hands around the draft, not little arms.
We talk about little everything.
Little everything. CJ Stroud was just
out there
glowing about Tank Dell the other day when talking to the media. Or talking to Eric Wilson. Who do you think is going to be the most improved player on the Texans in 2024? Is it Tank? I'm going to go back to my linebacker conversation here. Christian Harris.
But he improved a lot last year.
I know.
Is he going to improve even more?
I think he will. I don't know how really much more CJ Stroud can improve, to be honest.
Wow. That's blasphemy.
Because he was already so damn good. Like, he's going to be better. The stats might not even look that much better, even though he has better talent at wide receiver. But I think the reason why I say Christian Harris is because what he did at the end of the year and in the playoffs, that's who I think he can be from the beginning. And of all the crazy comps that we've heard about this Texans roster, about can this guy be this or that, I believe the most in that Christian Harris could be the next Fred Warner for D'Amico Ryans and be a top three linebacker in the NFL.
Whoa.
I think he's that good.
Whoa.
So I'm going to go Christian Harris.
I believe Christian Harris, if you were to say that to him, much like he said when told about Blake Cashman having 19 tackles in a game, he would drop a hard, shocked JC on you.
Is that what he does?
Funniest moment of last year was Christian Harris hearing how many tackles Blake Cashman had in the game. He just deadpan in shock, just drops a hard JC, and it made me laugh very hard.
This is a fascinating moment in this show. Of all the things that you said,
I'm trying to be better with that one.
You just say JC.
I'm trying to be better with that one.
Like
I'm trying to welcome the Lord back in my life.
I understand.
I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to be the best.
Astros out, Lord in.
I'm trying to be the best ESPN.
That's Paul Gallant, 97.5
and 92.5 teammate I can be. Okay. Interesting that you think that CJ Stroud can't get that much better, though.
I think he can get...
I think that's blasphemy.
I think better, but to be the most improved...
What's the thing that Michael Jordan said? Ceiling is the roof? I don't know what that means either.
I think it's the roof is the ceiling.
Roof is the ceiling.
I think he got it backwards.
The ceiling is the floor. I forget. Whatever he said. It's that energy that I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm saying, but no, I don't think that there is. If that's what we got from CJ Stroud year one, I am very curious to see what we will get from CJ Stroud year two.
For sure. Like I think
year
he
three.
Could be,
I think
he could
the big,
be MVP.
Well, the interesting thing with Stroud is that the guy is incredibly smart about the risks he is willing to take and unwilling to take, and
that is something that a lot of quarterbacks don't have. So his first season, he is pretty damn good at, one, not throwing interceptions, two, avoiding sacks, which I thought he became a lot better at as the season wore on.
Totally agree.
Those are great. So now what happens when he becomes just smarter when it comes to picking up defenses, et cetera? I think with Stroud, I do not think there is a limit. But if you're picking from year one to year two, who is going to have the biggest jump? I think this one's obvious. It's Will Anderson. J.J. Watt, his first year.
It's a good one. That's a good call.
Did you notice him? Not until the end when he got that pick six.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had that awesome game against the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs. And he carried that from the 2011 season into 2012. And, I mean, that's the first 20 sack season that he had. That's the first defensive player of the year that he had. He was incredible that year. And I feel like Will Anderson's second year in the NFL, where he's going to be bigger, he's mm-hmm. going to be stronger, he's going to know what he can do against offensive linemen. He's going to have Danielle Hunter on the other side as well. That's going to help him out. I think Anderson's going to be a very, very, very... I think he's going to be close to a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. I feel like 15 sacks are on the table if you got another guy in Danielle Hunter across from him. And you know, obviously, we'll see what happens. But when we go to Louisiana tonight, that is one of the futures I'm looking at.
Interesting.
I don't know what the over-under is for Will Anderson sacks or Defensive Player of the Year.
I mean, think about Will Anderson. Like he had one sack from September 10th when they played Baltimore through when they played Carolina. And then he had the other six sacks in just like the final like eight games of the year. So he really turned it on in a massive way in the second half. That's a very good answer. For CJ, if it's going to – the most improvement he can make is – I'm going to pinpoint the two Ravens games and the Jets game. I know he got hurt in the Jets game, but when you're playing that elite level of a defense, that's where he really takes the next step because of can he be who he is against the Titans when he's playing a defense that's as good as the Jets. Like, can he still be, like, that elite quarterback at all times, like we've seen Patrick Mahomes be, like we've seen Joe Burrow be, and Aaron Rodgers and guys like that? That's probably the biggest step. But even if he accomplishes that, I don't think it'll be as much of a jump as Christian Harris or Will Anderson will make. And that's no disrespect to CJ. It's just I think that there's a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball.
So disrespectful.
Like, I love CJ Stroud.
He's our Lord and Savior.
I might go on MVP while we're in Louisiana.
Okay.
CJ Stroud.
Do you know off the top of your head what they are right now? We're going to have to check when we get there because they obviously vary book to book.
Yeah. CJ's odds are not that high for MVP.
Like, interesting. You know, it does help that he did not get any finalist votes, right? Did he even get like a top five vote?
No, I don't think he did this year.
Yeah, I don't think he did either.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because, I mean, he received, and I felt they were actually deserves, a couple of MVP chance, a few smatterings.
Yeah.
Once, of course, people actually started showing up to NRG Stadium and stopped selling tickets to all the teams' fan bases who were from out of town.
CJ is eighth to an MVP right now. The quarterbacks in front of him are Mahomes, Allen, and this might have changed. This is an old article. This is from February, so I feel like this might have changed. The eight quarterbacks in front of CJ Stroud right now for MVP odds are Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, and then CJ Stroud. I would have CJ Stroud in front of at least two of those quarterbacks, at least in front of Love and Purdy, and probably in front of if the Chargers make the playoffs this year and have a really, even if they don't win the division, Herbert will have a good case, my guess is, from going from having a top five pick to making the playoffs, just like CJ did technically last year, and they just didn't give it to him. But I wouldn't be shocked if CJ's I would be more shocked that he's not in the top five for MVP or top three for MVP than him winning it. Like he should be in that conversation next year.
Yeah, I would think so. I think the big thing, though, is just going to be the win total for the Texans. And that's something that really, with the schedule that they're going up against, it's going to be very hard for them to have the most wins in the AFC.
Yeah, you got
to
win a lot of games.
I mean, if they have the most wins in the AFC, like,
easy, done.
I think we'll be saying they're going to win the Super Bowl if they have the most in the AFC. We will be high. We will be so high off Chiefs of the optimism too. And positivity.
It's going to be Texans blue, not Yankees blue, because they're going to have a championship recently.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, it's Tuesday, which means there's a bunch of stuff we missed over the weekend. In case you missed it, that's next on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell. Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
Matt Ryan retired.
I didn't know he was not retired.
I guess there was some, like,
paperwork issue?
I remember last year, before the Browns signed Flacco, there was some speculation that maybe they would go after Matt Ryan.
Okay.
And maybe he was still holding out hope while he started doing TV.
All right.
But, yeah, he retired, officially.
That's neato. Is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
Good call. Good call.
Eli?
I don't think he should be. I don't think I should be asked about it, though, because I'm clearly biased in the matter. I think his touchdown to interception ratio is not very good. And yes, they did have those two playoff runs, but I feel like both times that they won the Super Bowl, the Giants' defense is really what got them there, as opposed to Eli Manning. But everyone's going to call me biased and a hater, and guess what? I am. Eli has given me three moments of heartbreak as a sports fan. My first Florida Gators game ever. Undefeated season. And the 2011 season as well.
Sean, are you Eli Manning Hall of Fame? Yes or no?
I don't think so, but I think it's funny because people will get upset when he does. So, yeah, Eli Manning. So, yes, Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame.
I hate you.
I'm just like, yeah, sure. To like Matt Ryan, if they want to put him in, sure, don't care. Like, yeah. It's like close enough to where I'm like, go for it. Because they need to have guys in the Hall of Fame every year.
But there's too many quarterbacks, and he's always been about the 10th best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I don't think he was ever really. To me, it's easy.
He had like two seasons where his numbers were super high. He had the MVP year.
He won the MVP.
Yeah.
And there was another year, I want to say it was 2010, 2011, and they got absolutely murdered by the Packers in the first round of the playoffs, where he had some insane numbers too.
Does
and the
Phil
Falcons
Rivers?
Were like 14-2 or something.
I'm a no on Philip Rivers.
Phil Rivers?
No. I think Rivers is more deserving than Eli. However, Rivers does not have any of the marquee wins that Eli does. I think Rivers of the 04 draft class, I think Rivers is number one in terms of actual talent and ability.
Mm-hmm.
Roethlisberger, Eli also had two Super Bowls. That's the last like really good draft class that we had for quarterbacks outside.
Great
of,
draft class.
You know, because 2017 is falling apart.
Roethlisberger?
Yes.
How do we feel about Roethlisberger?
I think he's a yes.
In?
POS. And...
First one. First Super Bowl actual passenger, though. Like, if we're hitting Eli Manning with led by the defense. Like,
the referees won that first Super Bowl.
Ben Roethlisberger was led by the defense,
and
the
Antoine
running
was,
game.
Antoine
the,
ran it all through that touchdown pass?
No, the refs had the Steelers beating the Seahawks in that Super Bowl. I was up in Seattle long enough to actually... start believing that.
I
watched the game once. Holy crap.
Ben Roethlisberger, yes. Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Eli Manning, no.
Wouldn't in case you missed it. Side tangent. I like it.
It was a little evergreen NFL content.
Let's go.
I guess not evergreen. Eventually they will make the, you know, or make the Hall of Fame or not.
But. I'll tell you what. They were like the new version of the steroid era, though, of like Bonds, McGuire, Sosa. Should these guys get into the Hall of Fame? When all these quarterbacks are eligible for the Hall of Fame, like there's going to be a point in time where the four quarterbacks we just mentioned are all going to be eligible for the Hall of Fame in the same year, probably.
Hey.
Yeah, what, like 3 years from now?
Well, while we're on the Mannings, I thought another subject for in case you missed it. Sean Mapes, you got to see
in the Hall
Arch
of Fame.
Manning.
Yes, Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer already. So he was 19 of 25 for 355 yards and two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Arch or Quinn for 2024?
Hey, like Steve Sarkisian said, we know what we have with Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, it's not enough is what it is. That's what I would say.
Wow.
I'm Team
Arch,
man.
We know what we have. We know what we have.
He was so good down the stretch of that UW game.
He was.
Like, I can't believe they almost pulled that off, considering how horribly they played that whole game.
Yeah. Like, I heard Sean and Dell discussing this yesterday about how, like, Quinn, at one point, we were talking about him as a first-round pick.
Yeah. Like, he's not... Or not supposed to, but the plan you would think would be he starts last year, plays well enough to be a first round pick, and now Arch is the starting quarterback. Didn't go to plan. So
would you be upset if they went to Arch and they passed over Quinn, or do you think that'd be a mistake?
No. Just win.
Just win.
just whoever's better.
Quinn Ewers is fascinating.
If Quinn Ewers isn't good enough, I will say if Quinn Ewers is again not good enough to be a first round pick. we can't keep doing this.
It's true.
Let him enjoy life at SMU or wherever he transfers.
Quinn Ewers is going to be fascinating because, like, when on Monday, when the way too early 2025 NFL mock drafts come out.
Yeah, I can't wait. Might even be Friday.
He's going to be in the top 10.
Definitely.
Because yeah, he's one of the three quarterbacks people know.
Yeah, like him and Shador Sanders are both going to be top 10 picks.
He's had enough moments where you're like, yep, that guy is definitely capable of playing in the NFL. I would specifically point to that first couple of quarters against Alabama a couple of years ago. He was so good in game before he got hurt.
He's played well twice against Alabama. He's played well twice against OU. Mm-hmm. Like, he played well at the end of the Washington game. Like, he can string it together. It's just he's pretty inconsistent. And when it's ugly, it's, like, super ugly.
It's really bad, yeah.
Also, I'd love for him to complete a season without missing two games. That'd be nice.
Cutler vibes. Nice. Is that a fair comparison, Joe? Jay Cutler vibes?
Hmm. Cutler with the sixth pick on the draft.
That's what I mean.
He wishes.
Yeah, that's interesting. I see that. Like, not maybe not the upside talent wise, but the vibes itself.
Yeah, because Cutler's arm.
Jay Cutler Hall of Fame.
Howitzer.
Come on.
Hall of Fame character on reality TV shows.
Vanderbilt Hall of Fame.
Fun Hall of Fame.
Vanderbilt Hall of Fame.
Hall of very fun.
NBA playoffs are going on.
Yeah.
The Cavs are up 2-0. That game was so boring last night.
Yeah, in a game no one watched.
Yeah, I watched a little bit.
And it was on NBA TV.
That's what I figured. I was like, was it on NBA TV?
Yeah.
I saw some, like, Cavs fans on social media being like, I just want this series to be over so the Cavs can play in the second round, play on a real TV channel, so I feel like my team's actually in the playoffs.
They play another game on NBA TV this week, and then they play the first four games of the series has already been scheduled out. The first game was the early game on Saturday.
Yep.
This was an NBA TV game. The next one's an NBA TV game. And then this weekend, it's also going to be like the 1 o'clock tip-off.
Yeah,
Adam Silver's really wrap this up where people don't have to watch this.
But the Knicks took a 2-0 lead in their series last night. Controversial game at the end.
It was a mess. I saw a really awesome camera shot from somebody holding a cell phone of just the absolute mess as New York kept on getting shot after shot after shot off. Joel Embiid said that the Sixers will win this series. I can't wait until everyone turns on Joel Embiid. I like Joel Embiid a lot, but he has always had excuses for the losses, and it's about to, I think, be directed at him. There's no James Harden to be a meat shield anymore.
And then last night, after the game, in typical Daryl Morey fashion, not the first time he's done this, the 76ers plan to file a grievance with the NBA over the officiating across the first two games of the series.
So now that he's gone, will Rockets fans admit that this is such a bitch move?
Dude.
It's such a loser beta move.
Like, I get why Nick Nurse was upset last night, because he thought that the 76ers had possession. He kept calling for timeout. The ref waved him off. But, like, to me, you look at the chaos of that last play, where the ball is going, and how it's just bouncing around. I don't think they had enough possession, so I think they're wrong.
Excuse me, sir. I'm going to hand you a packet of papers that shows why you actually had it out for my team in last night's game. Hi, it's me, Daryl Morey.
God, that voice, it reminds me of, like, a TV character.
SpongeBob SquarePants?
No, maybe. But like a nerdy kid.
That was a SpongeBob laugh. I know. That was good.
And then the Nuggets went up 2-0 on the Lakers last night. Lakers had a big game. Jamal Murray, that shot was smooth as butter over Anthony Davis. It was so good.
I think I saw something where, like, the Lakers are 0-5 the last five games against the Nuggets, in which they've had a 10-point lead.
That's crazy.
That really is. People made fun of it, rightfully so, for calling it the most competitive sweep in NBA history last year. Because it's like, who cares? But it was a very competitive sweep. And then the first two games of this series have also been very competitive. Where I think at halftime the Lakers have led both games at halftime, and the Nuggets can just get easy shots whenever they want. Like when it gets to fourth quarter,
yeah,
they can just kind of get what they want and against anybody in the league, and that's what happened again last night.
LeBron got very mad about one specific call being overturned.
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell got hit in the face on a layup.
I'm sorry. If you had a 20-point lead, shut the hell up. Right?
100%.
I mean, I understand there's calls over the course of games when you're like, that should not have been overturned. Fine. But don't tell me if it didn't even out in some way, shape, or form. NBA, the NBA wants a series with LeBron against the defending champions to go as long as possible. It is in their best interest to make this so that the Lakers win a game.
Dell and I had a conversation of which blown lead do you think was worse? The Lakers, whatever, 20 points it was, like, what, halfway through the third? Or
yeah.
Most of the way through the third? No, actually, it was like 9 minutes left in the third. Or the Sixers blowing a 5-point lead with like 40 seconds left.
I mean, the Sixers one.
I think it's the Sixers.
The Sixers one almost seems worse, and maybe we'll use this later because we're running a little late. But did you guys see the TV announcers from the Sixers game?
No,
they were gloating when they're up by five.
These idiots.
And they started talking about how like this one's a wrap. The post game show is going to be so much fun. And then all of a sudden, Brunson like. The three hits the rim and drops in, and then the chaos unfolds.
But they're
like pimping up their post game show, talking about how fun it's going to be, and there's still 30 plus seconds left, and they're only up by two possessions.
How have they not learned from this? How have they not learned from this? Remember when the confetti dropped when they were playing the Celtics, and then they lost that game?
Yes.
How have they not learned? They're the choking dog franchise of the Eastern Conference.
Maybe if they got normal sized statues for their players. Because that Allen Iverson that Allen they Iverson made is statue. Still so bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know. That is random that they had the small statues. Does Sylvester Stallone have a clause in his contract that the biggest sports statue in Philadelphia is always going to be that of Rocky, who's literally not real?
It's true. Not a real person.
I mean, that would make sense that the Rocky statue has to be the biggest statue in Philadelphia.
That would be very funny. Like, these are the rules. Don't wear it out.
They have a little baby Benjamin Franklin one.
There's actual
history that happened in Philadelphia, which makes it even funnier that they have a Rocky statue.
They do have a building with William Penn as the steeple of this building. It's like a fairly high building. There's like a dude, like instead of like Empire State Building having the big antenna, it's just like... There's just a guy standing, like a statue of a guy on top of it. I'm sure that one is probably bigger than Allen Iverson.
All right. When we come back, the Houston Chronicle, they gave some suggestions for how the Houston Astros can be better. We're going to try to help them. We're going to fix the Astros when we get back. And Jeremy Booth will join us in the 1 o'clock hour here in studio. That's next on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. With Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul and Joe.
So Fangraphs put out a blog about the Houston Astros, titled "The Astros Are Rapidly Digging Their Hole Deeper and Deeper." Duh. Their article here estimates the Astros have about 5 weeks to figure this out. Which honestly is longer than I anticipated. I thought they had less, like, just based on what the nerdy numbers would tell you. I kind of figured if they're not back within five games of 500 at a minimum in the next 2 weeks, or maybe next week and a half, that their season was kind of cooked. Like, I just, the idea behind it is fascinating. Now, this article, they go through and they do the projections as of right now after Sunday's games. Projects the Astros at this moment to go 83-79 this season. It projects the Mariners to go 85-77 and the Rangers to go 86-76. So part of the reason why this article to me seems the Astros have more time is at least at this moment, they're projecting the Rangers to not reach 90 wins this season. That also surprises me a little bit. Like I know we had that weird discussion yesterday. I'm aware. About the division versus the wild card. But
the Astros will not make it
to the wild card.
Via the wild card to the playoffs of baseball.
Yep.
it's me, Joe George, with this bold proclamation.
And then a bunch of people really hated that take.
So?
In fact.
That's why they pay you the big bucks, Joe.
What big bucks?
That's why they pay you the bucks.
Some people dislike my take so much, I learned they have disdain for me.
They have disdain
for
you?
That's what I learned yesterday.
Wait. Who are these people that have disdain for you?
People on the text line.
On the text line?
They have disdain. Normally, I thought only the Twitchers did like
it. Did someone legitimately text, and I have disdain for Joe George?
He said, I'm glad I'm not the only one. And they sent me a screenshot yesterday.
Oh, why? Was this inspired by some conversation from the Killer Bees? Were they bullying you again?
I think they were trying to bully me, in which they paint me in a negative light constantly. That's what they try to do. It happens. It's okay.
I'm your therapist right now.
I don't care.
That's not okay.
It is what it is.
March down the hall to HR&P.
No, I just like walk down the hall and then get yelled at. Without being talked to.
See, that's not good. That's
I mean,
bad.
I don't care.
This is a hostile. You clearly do. You're bringing it up. This is your subconscious speaking out, Joe.
Maybe you're right.
Your subconscious is speaking out. And
my subconscious says that after all the work I did for them for a year that I'm offended.
Yeah, you should be.
Fact.
You should be.
And you know what, Sean? I'll never yell at you.
We'll see about that.
It's his birthday. Yeah. You can't yell at him today.
You already brought up my dead dog.
That's true. He should be able to yell at you right now.
Made fun of me. For my dead dog.
He did make fun of him for his dead dog. You're like, this, and you can go back to the podcast to check it out.
If Sean wants to yell at me for bringing up his dead dog, then that's
fine. I have a 2-hour drive to Louisiana to do that.
Dude, yeah, we do. We're driving together.
I'll even Road sneak trip. In the fact that my dog died in like 2016. It's super unfair for me to weaponize that.
Are we gonna stop at Bucky's on the way?
If we can't, I won't say no.
Okay.
Gotta stop at Bucky's on the way.
I feel like we have to.
Yeah, I'm going in a separate car.
Yeah, you have business to take care of.
Yeah, actually, I just didn't want to go with
Corporate
guys.
Paul.
Corporate Paul can't hang out with us.
No, I really just didn't want. I wanted to, I wanted to be able to listen to my podcast.
Yeah, didn't want us sneaking
up. I wanted to have speed.
Stinking up his Volkswagen.
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't want you stinking up the Nazi mobile.
You're one of those people.
What?
1.5 speed?
I have to.
Really?
Yeah, I have to.
I'm also 1.5.
Well, I guess we'll give it a shot on the way to Louisiana today. I don't know what we're going to listen to, but I've never done it before. But we'll give it a listen.
Endless
we'll give it a try.
Do you want to start 1.25 and then I'll slowly inch it up to 1.5?
There's certain people. Like if we listen to Bill Simmons, I'm not sure I could listen to him much. Like speak much faster. Like it'll make my brain hurt. But then the Houston Chronicle also put out an article. Just 4 things that the Astros need to do to turn things around.
It comes off as so patronizing.
It really does. And like I don't think they meant it to come off this way.
No,
but
it
really does.
Right. It's one of those articles where it's just a list.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a list of a couple of things that they can do. Because people like articles with lists, and you're not going to read the whole thing. You're just going to read the bold, and then you might skim over the writing underneath
it. Guess what? That's what I did. Number one. Middle of the order should be more productive.
I think that's a good idea. I think that they should try to hit more. I think the whole order should try to hit more. But yeah, I think Yonner Diaz, I think he should get hits more. I think that Jeremy Payne is doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
But Chaz McCormick, I think he should do more.
Especially when there's guys on base.
Yeah.
Cut down walks.
Ooh, yeah. They're walking a lot of guys.
They're walking lots of guys, especially Josh Hader and Ryan Presley.
Starters and the bullpen.
Let's stop doing that.
That's a good idea. I think they should try to not have the third most walks in baseball.
Yeah, try to throw the ball in the zone.
As opposed to out of it.
Or close enough to the zone that they swing at it.
Depends on the umpire.
Unless JP France is on the mound and Angel Hernandez is going to call a strike that's 7 inches outside the zone like he did last week or a week and a half ago.
It seems like Angel Hernandez helped the Astros out in that game.
He did. Put hitters away.
Ooh, that's a good call.
That would help too.
I would like to see the Astros get hitters out.
I also would.
Because score runs.
Because if it's a road game like the next 3 games are, you do have to get 27 of them.
That's true.
So getting them out faster is good for you.
That's even better because guess what? Then less baseball that I have to watch.
Shorter games.
Shorter games is key. And scoring more runs than the other team is key. So the Chronicles really just providing brain busting.
And then get more from first base.
Oh, that I think that'd help. I think it would help if they had someone who was batting north of .060 at first base.
Hey, man, .68.
Oh, he's at .68?
I think it's .068.
That's nice. He's on the rise. I'm kidding. I know it was .068.
Okay.
He's at the point where it's really hard to get lower.
Yeah. Sure is.
I mean,
there's only 68 stops left.
But I mean, if he if he strikes out or flies out or whatever next at bat, like it's only going to go down a little bit because he's like so close to zero.
Yeah, and if he gets a hit, though,
it's going to skyrocket.
Well, will it? Not skyrocket, but
probably needs like two hits to
get a solid bump.
Probably needs 2 to 3 hits to get back to like 90.
Yeah. That's so.
It depends how long it takes. For
yeah,
him
exactly. It take him 2 weeks to get 2 hits? Then it's gonna not work out.
Because right now he's at about a hit a week, 4 weeks into the season with 4 hits.
Okay, well,
awesome.
And he's making what $19.5 million?
That's gonna be like 25 hits on the season at this pace. I don't know how many weeks are in a baseball.
Well,
season.
That's only
it's such a long.
That's
season.
Only if he keeps playing every day.
That's true.
Let him work his way out of it.
He's on pace to make. And my math is going to be a little bit off here, but he's on pace to make $1 million a hit this year. Right?
There's a chance.
If he gets 19 and a half hits, he'll have $19.5 million.
Well, maybe it's he'll make $500,000 for each hit and $500,000 for each error, because he also is on pace for like 19 errors this season.
That's
so,
part.
You know.
Was that in the article?
No,
clean up so. The air.
No, but that should be Jeremy Peña. We didn't talk about this from the weekend, just on a side tangent. He's got to clean up his act a little bit sometimes. There was some plays that are very makeable at shortstop, and he just maybe it's Carlos Correa spoilage that I still feel watching him play shortstop for
probably
so long. But like Peña, I'm just like, dude, some of these couple backhanded grabs that he should have got.
For real.
To go from like an awesome defensive shortstop to like a merely good one.
Yeah.
it is a drop off you notice.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else that we can help the Astros with?
Win 3 in a row, and until you do, I'm gonna be mean.
I'm gonna ask for less. Just win a series. And then win another series.
No. You're
baby
asking
steps,
too little.
Paul. We got baby
Screw
steps.
The baby steps. This isn't the Texans. This isn't the Rockets. You know? This is a full grown adult. This is your loser 25-year-old who's living at home. Oh, but inflation. Yeah, you can still get a job, kid. You can get a job.
That's why, like, get a job. Like, win 2 out of 3. Get a job at McDonald's. Like, baby steps.
Whoa. It's not at the bottom. Come on. Classist Joe here.
What?
Looking down on, you know, I'm sure McDonald's management pays more than radio.
Fact.
Yeah, management does.
I mean, why do you think we're going to Bucky's later? We're filling out job applications.
Yeah.
They pay
I'm
like
moving
30,
to Baytown, baby.
They pay like
Hell
30,
yeah, dude.
They pay like $30 an hour.
Is that a lot?
Quite a bit.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a break. At some point here shortly, Jeremy Booth from KHOU, their baseball analyst, will join us here
in
studio.
The infamous Jeremy Booth.
Yes, the infamous. That'll be next year on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. ESPN 97.5.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy 2 or 3 select major appliances. And when you buy 4 or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.